Just a little bit longer, I could have just said dismissed. It would have been good. Not too much. That's not bad. That's good. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Good. Well, I was thinking of toying with the idea of bringing the stool over and having that sitting here tonight, but I was reminded of an old saying my dad used to say, when I works hard. When I sits, I falls asleep. So I'm not a stand, because I do have a tendency to nod off when I'm sitting. But thinking about tonight and thinking about why I wanted to speak on what I was speaking on tonight. It's just been because of some various conversations that I've had, you know, with my family and with other people and with Clyde at the elders meeting, and they've been good conversations. It's been encouraging, and it's been kind of neat to talk about things. And I started thinking, let's see, I just turned 51. I've never really, to me, it's the common saying around my birthday is just another day. Not a big deal. No problem. Got a nice card from Megan. That was nice. That's up on the wall. Homemade card. That was nice. But what's that? Yeah, I know. It's funny that you should say that, because that's partially what I was thinking about is all through when I started coming to church, and I chuckle because I remember what this also does tie in with Joe's message from last week. So I'm going to change what I just said. When I started coming to meeting, because I agree with them, sometimes I get messed up too, and it's just, again, it's a habit, it's a tradition that we say we're going to come to church, but I agree with them, it's not necessarily the right way to say it, and probably is a good thing to say when I come to meeting. But I started thinking about it, and I was, like I said, I was 14 when I started coming out to meeting, and it was at Blaisdell, and I came out with Neil, and for the last all those years up until now, it's been either every Thursday night or every Wednesday night was either here or at Blaisdell, and it was just, this is what you did. This is, this is how I spent my time. This is how I spent my Wednesday and my Thursday evening is coming out to meeting and hearing a message and for a little bit of time now it's maybe giving a message or helping with singing or doing some other things and for the same time has been on a Sunday. That's where I spent my time. That's how I raised my kids. That's where you were at on a Sunday. You were at meeting. You were at the Lord's Supper. Unfortunately, the Lord never got a hold of me on that topic until a little bit later in life, but he had. But for sure, at the meeting, Sunday school meetings and things like that, that's where you are. And so kind of it started me wondering, and we've gone through here at Springbrook at different times, why we believe what we believe. We've gone through biblical doctrine. We've gone through a couple of different books on that, and that has been exciting, and it was always fun to go through and do the studies on those just to see. So really what I wanted to talk about today was traditions and kind of what are traditions and how do they correspond to our everyday life and to our life in the assemblies or our life in the church. So, again, this was just with what prompted this was a couple of different conversations and things that I've had. So I just want to, with that, I just want to open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this time you've given us, Lord. And as we just take time out, Lord, to pray to you and just to give you some praise and some glory, Lord. And I just want to turn it over to you and Lord, whatever I say that is wrong, I pray that you will have just be blanked out. And Lord, whatever is right and good and holy from your word, Lord, that would stick and that would be what was remembered tonight. And Lord, you said if everyone was quiet, you said even the rocks would cry out. So I trust there will be some value in something tonight. And Lord, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, traditions, you think about it, and there's all different things popped into my mind, different things that we do, you know, from what we do on holidays. You know, for the longest time when I was the baby of the house of my family, my brother, next oldest brother, was 8 years different, so I was affectionately known as the mistake, which they never ceased to call me that. I don't know. But because of that, you know, I saw a lot of things, and my mom and dad did a lot of things and kind of made it, you know, that was the way it was. This is tradition. We meet, everybody comes back. They meet at mom's house on Thanksgiving. We were always hunters, so, you know, we'd go out in the morning, meet at some unbelievable time at 4 o'clock in the morning. We go out, and every year older I get, I look at one of the kids and say, tell me again why we do this? And they say, because it's fun, Dad. Oh, that's right, I forgot. But, you know, it's good, but, you know, different traditions, you know, and I'm sure you all have them. You all have different things. Maybe it's a certain time of the year, every summer. Maybe it's camp. Maybe you go down to camp. Maybe it's a time that you go away to a cabin or a special spot that you go to, or, you know, maybe even, you know, a special meal, or just anything can be a tradition, right? One of the things that some of the brothers, when I first came here, when we would talk about things regarding the meeting and stuff, they would say, you know, you do something three times and it's a tradition, and that's kind of true. So, you know, you try and get things, you know, established or going. But traditions are good or bad, right? And I said, well, you know, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm not sure how to justify that or how to, because it can be either one. My first inclination would be you can have good traditions, and they can be good and positive, and then you can have bad traditions, too, that are not good. So I started looking up in Scripture, you know, about traditions. And if we want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I should have had this all down, but I didn't. I did not have time to get them all printed out, so I'm going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now some of the different translations change that word ordinance to traditions, and keep the traditions as I have delivered them to you. Now the two ordinances that I've always been looked at and have been taught that we follow here, the ordinances are our baptism, which we believe in immersion. Don't believe in sprinkling. Don't believe in any of the other stuff. It's good old fashioned dunking, and we believe that, and we believe that baptism is a sign, a public affirmation of your acceptance of Christ, that you've been received Christ as your Savior, and that's for baptism. And the other ordinance that we believe follow, there's two, is the Lord's Supper. That is an ordinance as well. There is other people teach other things, other things out there, but the two that are generally settled on absolutely are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Some folks teach head covering as another ordinance. Other folks teach foot washing could also be an ordinance. What we believe and what we see here at this point is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Not that those other things are not important, not that those other things are equally as valuable in the Scripture and not important, but as an ordinance, right now, I believe Clyde would agree with me that the two ordinances that we follow here at Springbrook are baptism and the Lord's Supper. But could that be changed to traditions? And I guess in order to do that, you look at what is a tradition. Is it, you know, a tradition is something that is passed down, right? You don't just come out today and say, you know what, I'm going to have rye toast for breakfast this morning, and I'm going to make that a tradition. well, maybe you could make it a tradition, you know, and if you carry it on for weeks and months and years, and, you know, that's what you had. And I know some guys, you know, that's what they had. You know, it doesn't matter. It could be oatmeal, could be, you know, Captain Crunch, could be whatever. That's their tradition of breakfast, what they have every morning, right? And I usually go through for my breakfast, and it's for 3 months, it's one thing, and then it's another thing, and then you get sick of that, and it's like, I don't ever want to see another bagel again or another Pop-Tart. Forget that. I want something new. So, you know, you have different things. But it could be a tradition, right? Something that's passed down. Usually it's something a little more serious than that, but it's something that's passed down from generation to generation, and that is just followed. Sometimes, though, we forget why we even started a tradition and what that is. But I guess the ordinances here could definitely be a tradition. And as you look at it, you know, these things were learned. And the Lord probably started a lot of traditions as he came and he started the new covenant, and he started... the apostles spent all sorts of time with him, and as he established a new way of doing things, a new covenant, there was no longer any need for sacrificing of animals for sins. That was taken care of, that was done. So there was no, you know, old traditions died, old traditions fell away, things that were done things that had to be done, those things passed away. New traditions were started, and you'll see in other areas, and we might look at some of the scriptures there too. It's the same concept. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, I do have this one down, so I'm not going to turn to it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." So verse 20 there, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the Lord, I'm sure, in his time with the apostles, went over these things over and over and over again. And that's something that makes tradition sometimes so hard to give up, is that it's been passed down and it's something that we've done over and over and over again. And when it's a good tradition, that's great, because you know what? We become solidified in it. We become solid in it. It becomes ingrained in what we do. And I'm sure this is the Lord's intention here. He went over and over and over again with his apostles on these different ideas and these different things on how they were to do things, how they were to, went over the scripture, how they were to live, how they were to love, how they were to do all these things. And it says at the end, he gave that great commission to all of us as believers, that we are to go and we are to teach and we are to show other people to observe and to follow all those things that he has commanded us to do, including baptism, including coming to the Lord's Supper, including all the commandments that he has given us in his scripture. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here's Paul talking to Timothy, and he's telling him, all these things that you've heard from me, all these things that you've heard, you know, from me in private, all these things that you've heard from me in front of many witnesses. It's consistent, and it's the Lord's teaching that Paul is giving out, and he's speaking these things. He goes, all these things that you've heard of me, Timothy, I want you to take those because you know them now. You know what they are, and I want you to take them, and I want you to give them to other men. And just any men? No. Faithful men, good men, godly men that are able to take those things, and they are going to start preaching them to other folks. And that is how the gospel, and that is how the word of the Lord was spread, through, if you want to call it, through tradition, through just following in the same footsteps over and over and over again. And this is what what we need to be looking to do as well. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy at the time. Wow, time did go fast. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. And I'm just going to read through very fast here, starting in verse 17. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Okay, just a couple of things I noticed. I don't want to get off on a trail, but, you know, do you see a pattern there with the Lord, right? I mean, the Jews, out of jealousy, didn't like what Paul had to say. Wasn't a matter whether they disagreed with it or not, but it was more out of jealousy that they were receiving accolades from these people when they thought, hey, you know, it was of jealousy. It wasn't even that they disagreed with what they were saying. And then it says they took a group of people, of fellows of a baser sort, you know, and I'm just instantly drawn back to the Lord, you know, where they drummed up the crowd multiple times against him and the Pharisees, and then even before Pilate, where they went around and they hired people to shout out to give him Barabbas instead of the Lord. You know, it was just the same. It's just another type here of that thing happening. And I just it struck me that out of jealousy, that it was a big part of it. So they went and they tried to get a hold of them, and they went to Jason's house and they weren't there. So we'll continue on. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and a certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, the one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And these are sticky papers. And then the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, whose coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scripture daily whether those things were so. And therefore many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. So they got chased out of Thessalonica, but it's, you know, it says these, and they went into Berea, and it says these were more honorable in Berea. And why were they more honorable? And it says that, you know, it gives the impression in Thessalonica that, you know, Paul, you know, they had to really work for what they received, for the fruits of their labor, and for those believers that they received out of Thessalonica. They had to really work for it, and it was a chore. I don't want to say a chore. I don't mean it was a chore. It was a little more difficult. It seems a little harder to get it across to the people. Almost that the people there really didn't want to hear it. They really weren't interested in hearing it, and Paul really had to use all of his talent that the Lord had given him to get them to understand the message. Where it says in Berea, they accepted it gladly, almost like they were desirous of it. They wanted to hear it. But then the part that, of course, we all know probably where I'm headed with this, you know, in Berea, it says they didn't just swallow it. Hook, line, and sinker. They didn't just take what Paul was saying and say, yep, okay, we believe it. Well, there you go. This is Paul. This is this guy that we heard of that used to be terrible persecuting these people, and now he's turned around and he's now a Christian, and, you know, just because he was a great man, you know, we're going to believe what he said. It said they took the scripture themselves and they went through it and they verified it. They verified what message they were receiving. They verified what they were getting from Paul, and they searched the scriptures to verify that these things were true, that these things were so. And it said that many of them believed, again, of the Greeks and of the chief women and different things. So that's for being like the Bereans. That's where that saying comes from. You know, they took it and they didn't just accept what was being spoon-fed to them. All right. So, you know, all my life, I've been blessed. I've really been blessed with godly men that I've had in my life as I've been being raised up as a Christian. And like Joanne said, and it's great. You know, she says I'm a baby, and it's true. Because I was always my joke, and I've said it before. It's like when I came here, all my friends were 25 to 30 years older than me. You know, I didn't have. You know, there was very few people that I had that were our age group here. Ruthie's and mine, and so, you know, it carried on, and it was just, you know, I made the joke. I wanted to feel. You know, I wanted to be part of the group, so I had a heart attack at 46, you know, just so I could be part of the group. You know, all these older folks were doing things, so I figured I had to get in on it. And so it's just like I've been accepted into the group, so that was great. But I've been blessed to have godly men teaching me all the way up through. From when I was at Blaisdell, Ed Palmer and different folks, he's the one guy that comes to mind. For some reasons, and there's still godly men there, different guys that are there, Jason Kelly, different guys. I've been blessed. I can't name them all. And even as I came here to Springbrook, I've been blessed to serve with Clyde in the eldership. Tony, Pat, Fred Chapman, Bob Spicer. Again, many more that I'm sure I'm missing a few, and they wouldn't mind if I missed them. I'm sure, and that's the nice thing about these guys is that they, when I mention their names from up here, they squirm. They don't necessarily like it. They're humble guys, and just people that the Lord continues here. Every one of the guys here that have been encouragements to me. Mike, it's been a pleasure to talk with him for different things. He opens my eyes up to different areas where I wouldn't necessarily be inclined to go on my own. As far as with music and things along those lines. And Chuck, it's been a pleasure to serve as a trustee and different things. And it's been great to have my kids be able to have these same benefits that I had as growing up and being taught from the Lord and learning the traditions of why we do the things that we do and how we meet and why we meet and the way we do. With all that being said, the one thing that I can honestly say, and I'm sure none of those men would ever disagree with me, that they were human. That they were human and that they made mistakes. And they would never try and tell anybody otherwise. Um, And the one thing that I do know is that when I was 23 years old, I believe it was, not newly married, but pretty new, with a baby, with us, God bless you. We decided that a couple of the men decided that, you know, it was time to start a new work, and that's when Springbrook was born. And I wish I could say, to some extent, I said yes, I did want to start a new work, but I can honestly stand up and say, probably the majority of the reason why I'm here today, at least to start, was because my father-in-law and Pat Guerin and Wayne House, my uncle, you know, they were headed over here, and I said, you know, yeah, let's go, sounds good. And so, you know, I kind of took what those guys were saying, and there was nothing wrong. There was absolutely very godly intent, and that is what it was meant for. I don't say this to say that it was a bad thing, but I say this only from a standpoint of from traditions. I maybe at that point was young in the faith, and I had not really give a whole lot of thought to the reasons why I was doing it, other than the fact that this was something I thought I should do. So as I got here and as I grew and as the Lord worked in my life, there are different things that came up that I see perhaps differently now in my life. Here for Springbrook are different things. And I just see the importance, and I can honestly say that, and I don't know, maybe you've had the same problem, but I know in my life there's been times that I've taken and I've taken the messages that I've received from other men here, and that, and maybe speakers on the radio, and we listen to that, and that becomes my sole input from what the Bible is telling me. There's been times in my life that I've let that happen. You have all the excuses in the world. I'm really busy at work. I don't have time. I'm busy trying to do other things. I'm trying to get the song leaders. I'm trying to get the speakers. I'm trying to do all these things, but they're excuses. And not that those messages and those things were not good, but we should never, never, never allow ourselves to be pulled out of our own study of the Word of God. This is how God talks to each and every one of us individually. He never intended for us to not be in here as Christians. We need to be in here. We need to be like the Bereans, and we need to study, and we need to check. I would like nothing better than for you to go home and look at the things that I've said and look for yourself and prove to yourself what I'm speaking is the truth. And that was part of my prayer today, is that if it's not, I don't want it to be going out to you. There's a million other ways that we could take this message and go off into false teachers. There are people that twist the scripture on purpose for their own benefit. We can go back and look at the Pharisees, and we could look at what they did as teachers. They were supposed to be leaders and teachers, and they, for their own benefit and for their own gain, twisted what God's purpose and what God had, and they twisted it, and that was not good. And there's people today that still do that. Sometimes we get into traditions, or we get into listening things, and they don't mean to do it. It's not even done on purpose, but it's just the way we've always done it. You know, there's different things and different avenues, but my point being is that most of all is that as we start looking into different things, and I had a couple other analogies I was going to share, but I don't think I'm going to because of time. We need to be careful in our lives as we do traditions. Traditions are not bad inherently. I think some of the things, the way we meet, and you know, we've established that these are godly principles. We've established that these things that we do and the ways that we meet and the things that we perform here, the Lord's Supper, are godly principles. And we, you know, there's nothing wrong with those traditions. Those are good traditions. But also, it's always good as well If you find yourself not really knowing why we're doing something or why you're doing something, then I would suggest to you that the answer is to go back to the Bible and prove to yourself. Don't take it from me. Don't take it from Clyde. Don't take it from Mike or Clayton or Jordan. Don't just because they set it up here and, well, they seem to be really godly people and they seem to really do it, I'm just going to, okay, that'll be my Bible reading for the week. No. Go figure it out. Look it up for yourselves and be like the Bereans. And the last thing is that one of the scripture that when I became an elder, when they asked me to sit with the eldership, the scripture that they gave me to do was 2 Timothy 2:15, and it was study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's nothing more important than that. There's nothing that you can do after you become a Christian. There's nothing more important than you can do than to do that, and to study, to rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to do that. We are all expected to be able to do that. Doesn't matter whether you're a woman, doesn't matter whether you're a young man new in the faith, doesn't matter whether you're an older gentleman that's sitting on the eldership at this point. You're expected to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And the only way you can do that is by keeping your skills sharp, and the only way to do that is by doing your own studies in the Bible. Let's just close. Dear Lord, again, I thank you for this time you've given us, and Lord, again, I just pray that you'll watch over us all. Help us to be a good light for you, Lord, a testimony. Help us all to remember to dig into your word and to spend time with you in prayer. And Lord, those are traditions that we should be passing down to ourselves and to our children and just amongst each other. And I just pray that these things will happen and they will continue if they are going. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless the work here at Springbrook. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.